All right, welcome back. Second half hour of tonight's show. Hobbo, Frank, and Chris. And speaking of Chris, we'll be going to Chris Horn here momentarily. But before we do so, we just wanted to mention the tragedy up in Washington today. And like everybody else, our thoughts and prayers are with the families that have lost loved ones in another senseless tragedy. Just too many of these things have happened and continue to happen. So we, one way or the other, got to figure out a way to deal with this. But certainly for the folks up there, just they're in our thoughts.
Absolutely. Well said, Hobbo. We've got Chris Horn on the line. Chris, this is Frank. Glad you could join us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Last visit a couple weeks ago, we touched on five stars Quinn Blanding, who's committed. He was the first commitment.
Right.
We talked about Stephen Moss. I believe he was the second commitment. He's a four star. And then fairly recently, back late June, Andrew Brown, a five star defensive tackle. But we really didn't touch on J.J. Jackson or Will Richardson or Kanane Brown or Jordan Ellis, Evan Butts, or Jeffrey Farrar. And give us just a quick capsule on these folks.
Right. We'll start off with the big guy. Will Richardson is kind of one of the more intriguing stories. Basically, over the course of the past year and a half, he's gone from about 350 pounds. He's gotten his weight down to 285, and now is building up the right way, building up good weight, he's a player I think could, you know, he kind of went under the radar a little bit, although he had some pretty impressive offers in addition to Virginia. He also had Florida State and Virginia Tech. So he's a 6'6", 285-pound. He'll probably be about 300 pounds by the time he gets to Virginia. But another player, offensive tackle, Virginia's recruiting him as a left tackle, and he's going to be an early enrollment type of guy. So he'll be graduating from high school this December and enrolling in January of 2014, which is exactly what Andrew Brown is doing. So those guys will be coming in together. A few others of note, you mentioned J.J. Jackson, who's kind of my sleeper of the class. He's about 6'4", 225 pounds, a guy that can really move. Real sleeper because he didn't play high school football until his junior year. He's out of the Northern Virginia area. He was primarily a basketball player and then just decided to go out and all of a sudden was able to attract interest as a result of his junior season performance. But plus his he's got quite a bit of athletic ability and speed to his frame. He's a guy that's being brought in as an outside linebacker initially, but could potentially grow into a defensive end. Jordan Ellis is a kid, a running back out of Georgia. He's a bigger back than, say, like a Taquan Mizell, Kevin Parks type. He's 5'11", 210 pounds. He's a guy that this year, his senior year, is his first real chance to be the primary featured back. Last year he shared carries, which is possibly a reason why he went under the radar a little bit. But he's had three straight games of over 100 yards, all-purpose yards at least, and certainly a guy that I think could be a sleeper to watch down the road. So for me, those are kind of three, other than the big name guys, the five star guys like the Blandings and the Browns. Those are really the three guys to look out for in my mind.
All right, talk to us a little bit about. You've said in the past, I believe, that Virginia is hoping or is expected to offer 16 to 18, maybe, scholarships this year?
Yeah, right now, it's at 9, and I think, when all is said and done, that it'll, I could see the number being, I've always kind of said around 15, so I think it's going to be a small class. I think that's what you'll see around signing day, kind of somewhere in that range, and these things can be fluid. It could be a little bit less. But it could be a little bit above 15 as well, in the 16 or 17 range, I think.
All right. With the targets that remain, give us like your top six.
Well, it's interesting because the field is kind of shrinking a little bit, certainly with so many kids have committed before the start of their senior seasons. And, I think Virginia is also, in addition to some guys that have been on the board for a long time, they're still evaluating targets and, maybe guys that we aren't talking about right now. Maybe in a week or two may pop on the radar there. But just a few guys certainly that have been around for a while and that the fans know about. And we'll start with Jamil Kamara, who's a player, a wide receiver out of Bishop Sullivan in Virginia Beach. I had a chance to see him play this past Friday night against St. Ann's Belfield. 6'2", 200-pound receiver with great hands, and a guy that Virginia's been targeting for a long time. And he's, yeah, I still think Virginia's the clear favorite for him. But he's taking his time in his recruiting process. He's a U.S. Army All-American, so he's planning on announcing at that All-Star game in this coming January. Virginia, I think, again, is the clear favorite, but Pitt is really making they're giving him something to think about. He seems to be developing good relationships with their coaches there as well as the players. So I think really Pitt and Virginia are kind of the two real front runners there, although he's also considering Wisconsin and Vanderbilt. Derek Nottie, who's a defensive tackle out of Ocean Lakes, is a guy Virginia's kind of, this time last year, I think Virginia was in good shape, but right now they're on the outside looking in, and I think Virginia Tech is kind of the team to beat. Beat for him. And then Ohio State, Penn State, Florida State also in the mix with him. But right now he's, if I had to guess, I think he ends up with Virginia Tech. And then there's Melvin Cain, who's a outside linebacker prospect out of the Gilman School in Baltimore.
Home of Darius Jennings.
That's right, Darius Jennings. Micah Kaiser, who's one of my favorite players in last year's class, who's I believe they're going to redshirt him this year, but I think fans need to remember that name next year as a middle linebacker potentially. But Melvin Cain is a guy who's an outside linebacker, real speed guy. As I mentioned, brings a lot of speed to the table, athletic ability. He's also considering, for me, I think Virginia's up there and has been up there for a long time. Maryland is certainly up there. Virginia Tech is still hanging around. I think they're still up there. And Rutgers is another kind of main school for him. But he hasn't really narrowed anything down. But for me, those are the kind of most serious schools in the picture for him.
All right. Much as was made of Gary Wunderlich committing, then decommitting, and then committing to Mississippi. Is Virginia looking at another place kicker at this time?
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been a name that's really risen to the forefront where Virginia's gone ahead and offered him a scholarship, and you wonder, Ian Fry so far, is looking pretty good this year, and he's a young guy. So if he if he continues to do well, perhaps he kind of assumes that mantle, and there's less of a need for the place kicker. So in my mind, I think they're kind of in a holding pattern, just kind of waiting to see what happens. Not really rushing into anything per se. Obviously, if Wunderlich wanted to come, if he was still committed, they'd be certainly pretty happy about that. But at this point, I think it's just kind of a wait and see approach by the staff.
Chris, this is Hobbo. Just a real quick question: anything happening on the basketball front from a recruiting standpoint?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, it's Virginia has two commitments right now: B.J. Stith, who is a shooting guard, small forward, who is currently at Oak Hill Academy after playing at Brunswick, and of course he's the son of Brian Stith. And Virginia also has a commitment from Isaiah Wilkins, who's kind of a combo forward, kind of to give Virginia fans an idea in the mold of an Akil Mitchell. They're kind of similar players, kind of wing guys almost coming out of high school, but the expectation is that Isaiah is going to develop into a power forward, kind of in the similar mold to Akil Mitchell. This week's a big week for Virginia I think there's a good chance that Robert Johnson, who's a four-star combo guard out of Benedictine, is going to announce his decision, I think, this Friday. At least that's kind of the buzz. There's a chance he may wait. But right now it's Virginia, Indiana, North Carolina, and Florida State, and he would be certainly a big time get for the Cavaliers if they can land him.
Yeah, I have a friend that always says, "Who else wants him?" I like it when Indiana and North Carolina are in on the kids that we're trying to get, and it really gets nice when you beat Indiana and Carolina for some kids.
Yeah, I think that's certainly will be the key. That will be definitely a feather in the cap of Tony Bennett and company if they can come. The perception heading into official visits was that Indiana and North Carolina were really the clear favorites, but right now it seems like it can go any direction. So if they can pull it out and get a guy who's really developed his game, he's got a sweet looking jumper, a sweet jump shot. He's really developed into a guy who can handle the basketball and get to the rim and set up his teammates as well. As keeping that sweet shot, that would be a big time coup for the Cavaliers.
Jumping back to football, and this is our last question for you tonight. I know Virginia has been pursuing Deshaun Hand. He's a five-star defensive end from Woodbridge. Where does that stand right now, and is Virginia in the thick of things or just clawing to try to be a contender?
Well, right now, Deshaun is really focused on three schools. There's Alabama, Michigan, and Florida, I believe, is the third school. I think Alabama and Michigan are kind of the top two in my mind, but those are kind of the main schools still in the picture. I think LSU was still mentioned. Virginia really hasn't been a big-time player for him for a long time. Really, the surprise was that Virginia Tech, which was considered, you know, by me included, myself included, to be the real favorite in this race, or at least one of the two favorites, really he eliminated them earlier in the process, obviously, and I think that was a real surprise. But so at this point, it looks like he's headed out of state. My guess would be Michigan, a school that he's liked a lot, for a long time, but certainly can't ever count out the defending national champion, Alabama, and, of course, Florida and LSU, the SEC country right there as well. So, but at this point, I think Virginia's, again, on the outside looking in for him. And, they were certainly able to get Andrew Brown, so I think they're definitely happy about that.
Oh, yeah, so far you've got to give Chip West and Mike London a lot of credit for the players they've already got in this class. Well, we got to let you go, Chris. We're going to bring you back in a few weeks as more developments arise. And as always, thank you for your excellent insights into UVA recruiting.
Thank you for having me.
Take care, Chris. All right, we're going to go to Ortho Virginia's Dr. David Nediff. Dr. Nediff is a knee ligament and cartilage surgery specialist. He's also an excellent shoulder surgeon, as well as some focus on the rotator cuff. And Dr. Nita, this is Frank. You there?
Hey, Frank. How are you?
Hey, thanks for joining us tonight.
No problem.
I did a lot of digging, and this being a coming off a bye week, it was hard to get any information anywhere. But Coach London today said that all three of the tailbacks who had foot and ankle problems, they are all out of their boots. They were all walking around now in their regular shoes, and they'll go into practice tomorrow and practice normally. And he expects all three to be 100%. Now, we did learn that Maurice Kennedy, a Verona product who plays cornerback and also plays nickel defense and has made a lot of tackles in his short time at Virginia, apparently he's got an ankle issue. And let's just talk about ankles again. I mean, everybody that plays sports, whether it's football or basketball or whatever, it's the most common injury, it seems. And when you've helped athletes deal with this, how would you diagnose these things, and how do you help them rehabilitate?
Well, most of the ankle injuries that we see are the garden variety that you know about, where the kind of the foot turns inward and the ankle's bulging outward, and the ligaments on that side of the ankle are very thin, so they're easily injured. And those are the kind where most people can either keep playing or shake it off and get back to play within a week or two. The bigger ankle injuries may take a little bit longer than that. And then there's the more serious injury where we call a syndesmotic injury, where the very strong ligaments in between the two bones of the leg tear, and you might have heard of a high ankle sprain.
Oh, I've had them.
Right, so a high ankle sprain involves the syndesmotic ligaments, and if they don't completely tear, those can be treated conservatively, but if they completely tear, then that's a surgical problem. That would be typically a season-ending thing, unless it happened very early in the season. So anyone who's been in a boot and is out of the boot within a few weeks probably has not had a real bad high ankle injury.
We're visiting with Dr. David Nediff of Ortho Virginia. Doctor, this is Habbo. A couple of guys, Smoke Mizell, Turf Toe, Jake McGee with the shoulder stinger. I assume those are injuries that could be nagging if they keep playing, that's susceptible to being re-hurt. Is that right?
Yeah, well, Turf Toe is infamous for creating problems for football players. It tends to be a nagging injury. It actually tends to end up bothering people throughout a career, really. not always a season-ending or a career-ending type injury, but it can certainly be a nagging one through a season. And a stinger is really more of a nerve injury where the nerves that come out of the neck going into the shoulder get stretched from a hit, and that's something that you can get back within a few days or at the, you know, it can take longer if it's a really serious one where the nerves got stretched to the point where they cause muscle weakness.
We're speaking with Dr. David Nedif of Ortho Virginia. David, one of the things that seems to occur quite a bit, are some of these hamstring issues. But also, Connor Davis had shoulder surgery prior to the season, and you know, the Evan Marcus, the weight training expert, helped him rebuild, and apparently all his weightlifting went well. But he didn't play much in the last game, and I wonder if he hasn't gotten some residual issues with that shoulder. And without knowing the specifics, what typically might happen in that situation?
Well, most shoulder surgery in a high school or collegiate level athlete is going to be because of instability of the shoulder, meaning the ball and socket joint aren't sticking together as much as we want them to. And so, you know, it could be an issue where maybe he's still having a mild degree of that, or perhaps they feel like he's just not quite strong enough to protect his shoulder. Obviously, if you want to, you can fix the ligaments, but if you don't have the shoulder totally balanced from a muscular standpoint, they're at risk for re-injury. So it could just be that they just feel like he's not quite ready from that standpoint.
Well, Doctor, we thank you and your colleagues for your support of the show and taking a few minutes to talk to us about some of these things, and we'll look forward to having you back again as the football season unfolds.
Great. Yeah, can't wait, guys. Thank you.
All right, Dr. David Nedif of Ortho Virginia, we're going to go to break right now. Stay with us. We got Chris Sill with the Olympic Report, some news about next week's show, and we may actually have a prediction on the VMI Virginia game. Who knows? Stay tuned.